Welcome to Burgermeisterin, where we embark on a journey through the corridors of time, unraveling the mysteries and untold stories that have shaped our world. I'm your host, Julia, and together, let's explore the pages of history like never before. Well, gather around, my friends, because we're about to dive into the riveting tale of Yolanda of Vianden, the original teenage rebel with a holy cause. So, we are whisked back to a time when flip phones weren't a thing, and Henry I, Count of Vianden, and Margaret, the Marquise of Namur, were the power couple of the 13th century. In their corner, they had a feisty daughter named Yolanda. Picture this. 1231, baby Yolanda pops into the world, ready to turn her parents' grand plans upside down. But Yolanda had a little quirk. She wasn't into the whole noble life thing. Instead, at a tender age that most of us were still figuring out our multiplication tables, she packed her bags and said, "Adios, luxuries. Sorry, Mum and Dad." This gutsy girl headed to the Dominican Ministry of Marienthal in Luxembourg against the wishes of her parental units. Yep, she was going full-on 13th century eat, pray and love. Fast forward a bit, and she's not just a regular nun, she's a cool nun. Yolanda climbs the ranks like a boss and becomes the head honcho, the big cheese, the top banana, the prioress of the monastery. And just like that, a legendary figure is born. She's now the Joan of Arc of Luxembourg, except with less armor and more prayer beds. Yolanda's legacy has mainly relied on the Dominican worldsmith Brother Herman von Welden's poem Codex Mariendalenis. The poem is a beast, spanning a staggering 5,963 lines of rhyming couplets. But what makes this manuscript even juicier is the language it's written in. Moselle Franconian, a cousin of today's Luxembourgish, is its native tongue. It's like finding the Rosetta Stone of Luxembourgish, a direct connection to its linguistic roots. You see, Brother Herman had a bit of a rotten bag, and he decided to immortalize Yolanda's escapades in an epic poem that's now the literary equivalent of Yolanda's Netflix series. It's the Yolanda of Vianden show, and it's a smash hit. And trust me, Herman's writing repertoire wasn't exactly the size of a library. In fact, it was a bit like having only two flavors of ice cream. One of his prized works is this Yolanda poem, and the other is a snoozed-fest prose document about his own life. Clearly, he was more into Yolanda's drama than his own life story. Now, this poetic masterpiece chronicles how our young rebel Yolanda told her parents thanks but no thanks to their dream of marrying her off to some noble dude named Warlam of Manchau. Her mum, the Marquise Marguerite de Courtenay, had grand plans of using this marriage to play the medieval matchmaking game and strengthen the Counts of Vianden's influence, especially with their pals, the Counts of Luxembourg. But what Yolanda really wanted was to hit the nunnery scene. At the ripe age of 14, a veritable sage, really, she pulled a Houdini on her parents and waltzed her way into the Dominican monastery of Marienthal. And you know what's funny? Her mum, Marquise Margaret, took her there herself, just to show her around. But Yolanda saw this as an opportunity to seek protection and get herself admitted as a novice. Her mother was not the one to take no for an answer. A year later, she makes a grand re-entrance, and this time she doesn't mess around. She's got a backup, a posse of armed nobles, no less. Talk about a helicopter mum who upgraded her fleet to a warship? With all the subtlety of a charging Renault, they march up to the Dominican Ministry of Marienthal, and her mum's like, "Give me back my daughter, or else." Dun dun dun! She threatens to turn that holy haven into a medieval demolition derby if they don't hand Yolanda back to her on a silver platter. But Yolanda wasn't going down without a fight. Oh no, she wasn't about to let the cavalry whisk her away from her nunnery dreams. She might have even tried to sweet-talk her mom by saying, "Sorry, Mom, but I've found my true calling." Her dedication was unwavering. Her spirit? unbreakable. What's even more fantastic is that she used her time in the nunnery to sharpen her debating skills. She probably threw in some impressive arguments about the virtues of cloister life and the benefits of eternal salvation. Plus, she got to chat with some heavyweights in the monastery world, like Dominican friars Walter von Meissenburg and Saint Albertus Magnus. The latter, born around the year 1200, was a true Renaissance man before the Renaissance even happened. He was a German Dominican friar, philosopher, scientist, and if that wasn't enough, he also became a bishop. So yeah, our girl had our casual chit-chats with the voice and the saintly. After what must have felt like an eternity of relentless mumversations, even her mother had to throw in the towel and admit defeat. She finally understood that Yolanda was a nun through and through, and her destiny was to remain at Marienthal, far from the worldly distractions of Vianden Castle. And Yolanda, listen, she thrived in her monastic role, and over the years she became a real nun. In 1258, after proving her devotion and leadership skills, she was elected prioress of the monastery. And she held onto that title for a whopping 25 years until her final curtain call in 2083. But you know what they say, the show must go on. She wasn't buried just anywhere. She got her own spot in the monastery church because if you're a prioress, you get the primary real estate in the afterlife. Now, let's talk about the mother of all plot twists. Yolanda's family wasn't just any old household. No, they were like a medieval Kardashians, only with more armor and less makeup. You see, her mother, the Marquise Margaret, decided to jump on the monastic bandwagon too, but not before a little detour. Around the year 1252, Yolanda's dad met his aunt during a crusade. So what's a medieval widow to do? Well, if you're Marquise Margaret, you pack your bags, kiss the castle life goodbye, and head to the Dominican monastery of Marienthal. That's right, folks, this wasn't just a mother-daughter getaway, it was a full-on family retreat. Think of it as the original Real Housewives of medieval Luxembourg, complete with vows of silence. But here's where it gets even more bizarre. The only thing left of Yolanda's life, apart from the legendary tale, is a skull. Yeah, a skull. Rumor has it, this cranium belonged to the one and only Yolande, and it used to be proudly displayed at the Trinitarian Church in Vianden. It was like a medieval version of a museum exhibit, and visitors were probably whispering, "Hey, that's Yolanda's head." But because life just can't be simple, the skull decided to pull a disappearing act. When the monastery closed its doors in the 18th century, Yolanda's cranium vanished into thin air. Maybe it decided it had enough of the spotlight and needed some peace and quiet. Who can blame it? Yolanda's story is nothing short of extraordinary. She went from a life of luxury to one of austerity and devotion, and her unwavering determination to make that change is as seasonal as it is inspiring. It's like trading in a Louis Vuitton bag for a simple burlap sack and finding true happiness. Because after all, it is in the simplicity, isn't it? This transformation is the reason Brother Herman couldn't resist writing her story, and it's why she became a symbol of inspiration for Luxembourg's women. She's like the original girl power icon, celebrating life on her terms. And because every good legend deserves a day in the calendar, Yolanda's memory is celebrated every December 17th. So mark your calendars, folks. It's the day to pay tribute to the woman who left behind riches, swapped tiaras for habits, and became the stuff of legends. Yolanda, you truly rock our medieval world.